Thank you all very much. Okay, let us move. I think, Commissioner Fish, did you have something you wanted to pull first? Just go on right into the regular agenda, and then we'll come back. Yeah, all right.
We're teed up for 585.
Let's go right into the regular agenda with item 585 then, please.
Item 85, adopt administrative rule 13.03, all user restrooms policy.
Well, thank you, Commissioner Fish, for your leadership on this.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm honored to co-sponsor this resolution with you. Jamie Waltz from the Office of Management Finance is with us. I also want to acknowledge the work that other people have put into this, including Betsy Ames, who we hope is resting comfortably and recovering. Mayor, I'm just going to make some very brief opening comments and then reserve the rest for the vote. Very proud today to play a role in bringing forward new city rules and policies on our restrooms. I believe city staff have done an excellent job crafting these rules and policies to reflect our values and the council intentions. And in doing so, they are affirming a very important principle that the city of Portland is welcoming to all. You see, everyone benefits when arbitrary gender-based barriers are removed, including removed from restrooms. Older adults benefit, particularly older adults with caregivers. Parents with young children, people with personal attendance, even transgender individuals. These rules reflect a change that is long overdue at the city of Portland. Multnomah County instituted a similar policy in 2013, and Portland State University, Portland Community College, and Grant High School are all ahead of us. Nationally, we follow cities like Austin, Philadelphia, Washington, D.C., and our neighbor to the north, Seattle. And as we will learn today, the city is poised over the next few months to change the signs on over 600 single-occupant restrooms to remove the gender-specific designations. I believe this is a proud day for our city and for all of us who care about access and equity. And, Mayor, I'm pleased to welcome Jamie from OMF to walk us through what's before us.
Thank you. Welcome, Jamie.
Good morning, Mayor, Commissioners. I'm Jamie Waltz. I'm the Strategic Planning and Development Manager for City Facilities. I'm presenting on behalf of Betsy Ames, who has provided the leadership to develop this policy but could not be here today. I'm going to talk about the all-user restroom policy, which is in Exhibit A of the resolution, and I also want to talk about three specific elements. I want to talk about why this policy was created, the current work that's being done to date, and what you should expect to see around the city, and then describe the elements that are in this policy. As Commissioner Fish said, the city supports having restroom options that benefit everyone. All-user restrooms provide a safe and comfortable option for people of all gender identities and expressions, including transgender and non-gender conforming people, parents or other caregivers of children of different genders, and people who need assistance from a caregiver or an attendant. Back in December 17th in 2015, you approved a resolution that directed several different elements. Some of the elements include directing all bureaus to conduct an inventory of all the restrooms across our city-owned facilities and to convert all gender-specific single-occupancy restrooms to all-user restrooms within 6 months of the passage of that resolution. And that includes placing new signage up on those restrooms. And that new signage, which is also in the exhibit, is attached to the policy, explains what is behind the door, not who is to use that bathroom. And so it just says that there will be a toilet behind that door. Some of the other elements of the resolution directed us, Office of Management and Finance, to develop a policy for incorporating all-user restrooms in new construction and major renovation. And then it directed OMF to help lead a study that we conduct the feasibility of creating all-user restrooms in all of our city-controlled and city-owned buildings. So since December, a lot of work has been taking place, and I want to highlight some of those accomplishments. We have been busy conducting an inventory of all of our restrooms across the city, and I want to thank the staff from multiple bureaus that own city facilities and properties who have been doing those inventories and helping to convert those restrooms that are single-occupant or gender-specific to all-user restrooms. So they've been working hard on that. There are over 850 restrooms in the city, in city-controlled facilities, and 600 of those are single-occupant restrooms that you will see being converted. So that's about 70% of those restrooms will be converted to all-user at this time. Parks and Recreation has about 300 of them. So they, through this resolution, are asking for an extension through September 1st to be able to have more time to make those conversions and put new signage up. One of the other things that's going to be happening in July is with the Portland building reconstruction, we have an opportunity to incorporate thoughtful approaches to providing all-user restrooms in that building. So we're going to be doing a pilot of creating a multi-user gender non-all-user bathroom. Right now, our bathrooms in the Portland building are gender-specific multi-occupant. So we'll be converting multi-occupant, all-user bathrooms on the second floor of the Portland building. We will be putting in taller partitions to provide more privacy. We'll also be putting those same partitions on the first floor of the Portland building, but keeping those restrooms gender-specific at this time. But we'll be putting signage directing individuals who want the all-user restrooms to the second floor. And we'll be collecting information on the experiences of the users, and we'll be incorporating that when we get to the design portion of the Portland building. Again, that will be happening sometime in July.
Why did you choose to put the all-user restrooms on this floor that you need to take an elevator to access rather than putting them on the first floor?
No, I don't know the answer to that, and I can find out why the choice was for the second floor.
Presumably, since it's still in the design phase, we might change that.
Oh, yeah. This is just a test, and when we go to the reconstruction, we'll look at accessibility and options.
It goes without saying, both for today and going forward, to the mayor and Commissioner Fritz, that we're very open to fine-tuning and adapting this going forward. The goal is, we have an audacious goal, but how we get there, there's some flexibility, and if there's a better way, we'd obviously like to consider that.
Thank you.
And then we are starting to draft up the scope of work for conducting the feasibility study to look at all of our restrooms across the city-controlled and city-owned properties. So then the last piece is the Administrative Rule 13.03, which is part of the resolution today that we're asking you to adopt. We drafted this policy with solicited input and feedback from city property and facility managers, equity and inclusion managers, HR, Office of Equity, Human Rights, and employees across the city. Before I get into some of the elements of the policy, there's a couple definitions that are helpful to understand. One of the elements of this policy is that it applies to city-controlled buildings. And city-controlled buildings are those buildings that are both owned and occupied by the city and for which we have facility-related decision-making authority for. So it doesn't apply to those city bureaus that are in outlease spaces, but for our buildings that we have ownership and control over. And then the other definition that's helpful is restroom bank. And so a restroom bank is used to describe a suite of restrooms located in close proximity that are designed to meet plumbing codes requirements for defined space. So, for example, on this floor of City Hall, you have a female and a male restroom separated by council chambers. That is still considered one restroom bank because it serves the code requirements for having restroom fixtures on this floor. So with the new policy, we are requiring that new construction or substantial renovation like the Portland building incorporate all-user design and that there be at least 10% of the toilet fixtures be in an all-user restroom with at least one all-user restroom per bank. So, for example, if there were 20 toilets on this floor, we would have two all-user toilets available, or we would have one all-user restroom available per this bank. So that's how that is set up to work. It also requires that renovation projects that have a hard construction cost of $500,000 or more assess the feasibility of doing some sort of all-user restroom design. It may not be feasible on every project, but that at least this is a way to look at those projects and see if there's a feasibility. It also stipulates what was designated in the December resolution that all single occupancy restrooms be converted to all user. and also reiterates the feasibility study that we will be doing. So I want to again thank staff for all of their hard work in helping us develop the policy and doing all the hard work up to this date and then the future changes you'll be seeing. Just to go online and see the signs.
Commissioner Fish, I really appreciate your leadership in this and your partnership with the Office of Management and Finance. This is the most basic of basic services, and I would be remiss if I didn't mention Commissioner Randy Leonard, who first got us starting about bathroom facilities and the importance thereof, particularly public bathroom facilities, and it does make a difference. So I just have one request, and it's not in the, I don't see a place to put it, and that is that to me it's not an all-user restroom if it doesn't have seat covers. And if there's one thing that could enhance my enjoyment of Providence Park, it's the fact that the bathrooms don't have seat covers. And it not only, when I tell this to my daughter, she goes, Mom, everybody knows that you don't catch things from toilet seats. And I looked it up, and in fact, she's correct. And then I mentioned that to one of my male friends, and he goes, ew, there's still the ew factor. and it wastes bathroom tissue because most people, then you do the origami thing, and then you don't have any bathroom tissue for its intended purpose. So I would request that. I was actually in the fire station on the Esplanade for Chief Jansen's retirement, and I was very pleased to see a gender-neutral bathroom and no seat covers. What's up with this? I would really appreciate it. Thank you.
Right. That's a great suggestion.
I will feel very satisfied if at all of those locations we could just take care of that simple need because it is important. Thank you.
Questions, guidance for Jamie. Thank you so much. Do you have any invited testimony?
No, Mayor.
Okay. Thank you very much. We'll see if there are any questions for you at the end. But anyone signed up to speak
on
this?
We have two signed up.
Okay, come on.
Shedrick Wilkins and Crystal Linsky.
Okay, come on up, please.
Crystal, will you come up?
I'm Shedrick J. Wilkins, and I'm an expert on this topic because I work for a supermarket. Cleaning in bathrooms is a very hard situation, and about a year ago, it boiled over where we have open bathrooms at the supermarket, and I have to clean them. And I made a suggestion, you know, they're open. Anybody can come in there, and if there's some sort of mess in there, I have to go clean it. I immediately was written up one time for staying in the bathrooms, and it wasn't defaulting that I was doing my job, but I was spying on women, and not to go out of the room and get somebody else to do it who's a woman. That was 10 years ago, but recently my store is very busy, and I offered to be transgendered to go in and clean the women's bathroom, right? And this suggestion was rejected by women managers. And it's a very tough thing. My comment is you should continue to do experiments in schools and public buildings. But I doubt if it will ever be something where supermarkets are going to have transgendered bathrooms. It's a major obstacle. It's basically rounded up that I'm spying on women. I think there's a thing called passive transgenderism where you just use the bathroom. But there are people who want to be overt and wear lipstick, communicate with other women, and that's not going to go. And it's funny, too, the little kids. I used to go in the bathroom when I was 5. Little girls at my supermarket can go in the men's room because a man doesn't want to lose sight of a child. So it's kind of weird how this, I've learned a lot about this. I would just say experiments are needed in public facilities, but don't think it's going to spill over into the private sector at all.
Yeah. And, and this is not a mandate for the private sector. It's just a city policy.
Yeah,
well, then I support that. I mean, and any issue about developing transgendered bathrooms or hiring that done, My store will not pay the price for that. I wish they would.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.
John Pilger is making a new documentary. He's still alive. Oh, I'm done. Okay, so Crystal Elinsky, and I represent 10,000. Thank you very much for this. Now I forgot what I want to say because I'm thinking about all the bathrooms I've cleaned. But yeah, I like it outside in where I go when I come downtown. Oh man, the bathroom's always so dirty and they don't have any ventilation. So build them right. Oh yeah, human manure. We could do some great things God, I never got my plot. They stole my plot from me like 5-6 years ago, and they promised they'd give me a slot again when the next one came up, and they never did. So I need to look into that. But I'll ask Amanda Fritz to look into that for me. But there, we need to think of good ways to make toilets. I think the Leonard Lou was a really bad idea, especially when we started suing other cities for copying it. What I'd really like us to do with other cities, instead of tapping, you know, what do I always say? Gosh, I'm spacey now. We're always applauding ourselves. Oh, look, we're like Seattle and Denver, but this is our chance to make a proclamation and challenge those states that dare to discriminate against people. This is ridiculous, and we need to make a political statement. I would like this to go further, and I trust that you guys can do that. What was the other thing I wanted to say? Charles? Yeah. What was the other thing? Oh, yeah, I'm really interested to hear about the feedback on people's experiences. I think it's the funniest thing I ever heard. But, oh, yeah, so housing. From the homelessness angle, we see a lot, incrementally, more and more transgender people in the community, and that is a reflection, of course, of what's going wrong. It's very sad. It's kind of bizarre that it took the transgender people to get us more toilets, because we've been asking for that for a long time. Rose Festival gets more toilets. Homeless people don't. But maybe we can push this number, increase it, and I like to say, oh, yeah, and then, boy, I'm just going everywhere, but this is fun. So Korea, people share bathrooms, women and men. You just walk, you know, you just walk past the men in the pissoirs, and the women kind of have a little stall, and it's just bizarre that we're so hung up on this topic. And obviously I am too, because I keep talking, but this is it. We need a breakthrough, and pooping and peeing is a human right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Joe?
My name is Joe Walsh. For the record, I represent Individuals for Justice. One of the things, when my wife and I were watching television and we learned about this, she is much less radical than I am. And she looked at me and she said, why is this an issue? What is the big thing about restrooms? Why are we even, you know, in the process of trying to figure out who should use a restroom or who shouldn't use a restroom? It seems that it's so basic. If you have to go to the bathroom, you have to go to the bathroom. And there shouldn't be a label on it that says you can't use it. One of the things that I responded to, I said, you know, we have these festivals and we have these gatherings where we put hundreds or 50 porta potties around, and they're all used by everybody. And it doesn't seem to be a huge problem. So why did we get caught in this thing? Word of caution, though. I'm not a libertarian, but I get very nervous when government on any level starts legislating what we should do. So be careful with this. I know this is just the opening salvo. This is here. This is what you control. And I understand that. And it's not out in Starbucks and other places. That's my understanding, that this ordinance wouldn't do that. but it's an opening. It's a message. I would rather see a whole bunch of work done in the community to have people understand this is really not a big issue. You know, it's a basic right, if you will. Maybe on a lower scale than human rights, but it's a right. Especially somebody like me, when I'm downtown and I need to use a restroom, I have a card that says I have emergency medical that I need to use the restroom. So I can go into any establishment and use that restroom. So I would just caution you a little bit about getting too excited about this and forcing it on people and do a lot of PR work on this. Because a lot of people look at me in conversations and they say, what? What are they doing? So they need to know what you're doing. So I would caution you that we support it. We congratulate you on taking it on. It's a toughie. And good luck.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Welcome.
Good morning. For the record, my name is Charles Johnson. I can't remember which Frenchman it was, maybe Victor Hugo, who reminded us that the law and its majesty makes it equally illegal for the rich and the poor to steal bread. And it's equally illegal and difficult to you. If these windows were open, we could see the two blocks that separate the men's bathroom from the women's bathroom, all of which will be available to whomever soon, except after midnight, when if you're homeless or not, you're locked out of the bathroom. We would rather have you urinate and defecate in public than use the bathroom. So even though these moves towards gender inclusion and choice options during limited hours for everybody at public bathrooms is good, we still have a ways to go to make the city fully functional, addressing basic human needs for the way that people live 24 hours a day here. I know there's some hope that we can have everybody sheltered next to, or not immediately next to, but near and with indoor plumbing sometime within the next year. But when we're talking about bathrooms, we need to face the reality that we're still doling out potties as a privilege. If you have a life where you can go home to a bathroom, we can lock up the public bathrooms at midnight. The loo, of course, there are the three loos to service 3,000 homeless people. But, you know, and so in addition to the political correctness, and as Crystal mentioned, I know that the mayor, you know, mentioned whichever state passed its ridiculous discrimination law so we couldn't go visit the USS Portland when it was in the Red South. It is true that we want to go beyond Seattle and be in a position where we can do the best both on gender equity and choice, and on providing service, basic human needs services, restrooms to the neediest people. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else want to speak on this resolution? All right, then let's proceed to take a vote, please.
Yes.
Mayor Hales, Commissioner Fritz, this is a proud day for our city because it's another example of us taking our values and translating those values into action. The City of Portland is committed to providing a safe and inclusive workplace for all of our employees. And we are committed to welcoming everyone in our community when they visit us. Today, we're taking another step forward in that spirit. There's a number of people I want to thank today, and I want to start with our friends of the Office of Management and Finance, both Jamie Waltz and Betsy Ames. We sometimes hear that our form of government is inefficient, and the hardest thing to do is to get everybody to work together. I think this is a conspicuous example of leadership at OMF and collaboration with all the bureaus to get us to this point, because we set a very big goal and a very tight timeline, and we have largely met it. So I want to thank everybody that has participated in this process. It's really been a model of engaging the community in getting to this point. So to all the bureaus and all the leaders and our friends at OMF, a big thank you. I also want to thank some of our community partners who have, from the beginning, helped us get it right. Basic Rights Oregon, SMRC, Disability Rights Oregon, Elders in Action, Transactive, Flush, Multnomah County. That's just That's not an exclusive list, but those are some of the people in the forefront of removing barriers. I want to thank Jamie Dunphy on my team, who's been working tirelessly on this issue, and I want to thank Aja Blair, a young man who used to work for me, who's gone off on a spiritual journey. But this is an issue he cared deeply about, and it arose out of his own life experience, and I'm proud that this council is moving forward to put this into action. And let's be clear, the cornerstone of what we are doing is providing the public with more choice, and we're providing safe options. And that's a good thing. And I think Joe's right. The ability to use a restroom is a basic right. We can argue where it falls in all of the rights that we cherish, but it's a pretty basic right. And I'm proud today that we're joining with the county and sister cities up and down the West Coast in making a very strong statement that in the future, our single-stall restrooms will be available to all, and that as we move forward to implement the broader policy, we'll be giving people meaningful choice. Thank you, colleagues, for your support. Thanks, staff, for your excellent work. And today, I'm proud to vote aye.
Prince. Well, thank you, Commissioner Fish, for your leadership on this and indeed for getting it done in such quick manner that Portland Parks and Recreation had to request an extension to September to get all of our single-user restrooms with appropriate signage. So I appreciate both the speed of bringing this resolution forward and the understanding that with so many restrooms in parks that we need a little more time. I brought up the seat cover issues, and I was reminded the first time my grandmother visited me here in Portland, she must have been about 80, and when we met her off the plane at PDX, she went to the bathroom, and she came out. She was astonished about the seat cover. She had never seen a seat cover, and the privilege that we have living here where you can go to the bathroom and just assume that there's going to be amenities, and indeed that you assume you can go to the bathroom. That was brought home to me there. And then lately the issue of can everybody use the bathroom whenever they need to be able to go, and we should be able to do that. I'm very proud of the Pioneer Courthouse Square Board, who have been wrestling with improving the restrooms at Pioneer Courthouse Square as promised in the bond measure, the 2014 Fix Our Parks bond measure, and they keep coming up with more and more innovative designs. There was mention of the Chapman and Lounsdale Square bathrooms, and I was thinking also of the earlier today that, yes, we have the right to free speech and that we have to be mindful of not abusing that privilege. And, yes, we have the right to go to the bathroom, and we have the right to expect that others will not abuse that privilege. So one of the challenges at Pioneer Courthouse Square is people leaving needles in the baby changing facilities and the not taking care of those facilities. And so I'll be coming in the next budget process to ask for funding for an attendant for the most widely used restroom in Portland so that not only are the towels kept stocked and the rooms cleaned, and thank you, Mr. Shedrick, for I thought that would wake you up, for reminding us that we have wonderful people who clean our bathrooms and that we all need to be responsible for wise use of them and for reporting or providing services of that nature. And again, in Europe, that's something that is more routine, that there is a friendly attendant who can give you directions to the bus stop as well as providing soap and towels and security. So it's an ongoing challenge to provide funding for these services, and I appreciate the work that's being done. Aye.
Yes.
Well, thank you, Commissioner Fish and Jamie. You know, the English poet George Ebert said, living well is the best revenge. And so I think when we contemplate backsliding that's going on in places like North Carolina and Mississippi and the eruption of intolerance, you know, what do we as Portlanders do about that? And I think what we do is we demonstrate that we live well by practicing openness and inclusion and tolerance, and that we live better because that's what our values are, and those are our values, and that's how we live here. And I am enough of an optimist to believe that if we live well in openness and tolerance and inclusion, that eventually backward thinking like that will fall, and this will be accepted and not worth commenting on in the rest of the country. But we can do this now and do it right, and I appreciate that that's exactly what we're up to here today. Thank you very much. Aye. Good work. Thank you. Let's move on, please, to the next.